Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and welcome to Mystery Babylon Radio. Today's broadcast, October 27, 2013, is entitled The Jesuit Connection to Thomas Paine. Here's a short introduction by Chris Pinto on his documentary, The Hidden Faith of the Founding Fathers. Here's Chris Pinto.
The American Revolution, in many ways, begins with Thomas Paine. The Marquis de Lafayette said, "A free America without her Thomas Paine is unthinkable."
Thomas Paine wrote the pamphlet Common Sense, and it is stated, if you study historians relate that the pamphlet Common Sense was the writing that brought about the Declaration of Independence. In fact, Thomas Paine uses that phrase in Common Sense.
Paine wrote that nothing can settle our affairs so expeditiously as an open and determined declaration for independence.
What's interesting is that Thomas Paine, at that point, was not even an American citizen. He was an Englishman. He was in England, and he met Benjamin Franklin. And he was a radical guy, and he was a writer, and Franklin liked his writing style. Of course, Benjamin Franklin was a well-known printer. And so Franklin wanted Paine to come to America and encouraged him to write down his ideas in some kind of a pamphlet or a book or something. And so that's what inspired Paine. You know, it was Franklin who got Paine here into America and then helped him and encouraged him to write Common Sense, which he did. And he penned it and published it anonymously, so nobody knew who it was. And then they found out later on that it was him. Of course, he becomes very famous.
Paine also published the Crisis Pamphlet Series, which were read aloud by George Washington to his troops. On Paine's tombstone is written that Common Sense was the pamphlet that stirred the American colonies to independence. It reads that John Adams said, "Without the pen of Paine, the sword of Washington would have been wielded in vain." Then below it reads, "History is to ascribe the American Revolution to Thomas Paine."
So right there on his tombstone, they're openly ascribing the American Revolution to Thomas Paine and saying that at a literary level, at the level of setting forth a philosophy and the ideas, Paine's contribution was equal to that of George Washington, really, based on John Adams' quote, "Without the pen of Paine, the sword of Washington would have been wielded in vain." In other words, you needed Paine's philosophy and then Washington's military skills, and that's what brought about victory, supposedly, for the American Revolution.
Paine was also the first to coin the phrase, the United States of America. His influence is undeniable. But why has he been marginalized by modern historians? The answer, almost certainly, is because once the Revolution was over, Paine then published his true thoughts about Christianity and the Bible in his nefarious work, The Age of Reason. He wrote, "When I see throughout the greater part of this book, the Bible, scarcely anything but a history of the grossest vices and a collection of the most paltry and contemptible tales, I cannot dishonor my Creator by calling it by His name." While some have accused Paine of being an atheist, his defenders are quick to point out that he most certainly believed in a God, just not the God of the Bible.
Welcome to Mystery Babylon Radio. Tonight's topic is the Jesuit connection to Thomas Paine. My co-host is Wayne Michael of AvenueOfLight.com, and my name's Walt Stickle, and I'm the webmaster of the GrandDesignExposed.com. You know, as I woke up this morning, I realize what we've been covering on this broadcast. the Jesuit connection to Thomas Paine. That hits at the heart of the Patriot movement. When we start talking about these founders, the framers, it strikes at the heart of patriotism. And, you know, it's not always, the truth doesn't always make you feel warm and fuzzy. As I awoke this morning, it's like peeling an onion. As you start peeling that onion, have you ever had your eyes water? Because the more you peel it, the more your eyes, you tear up. And when you look at the true history, you know, it's not something that's going to make you warm and fuzzy. Now, on tonight's broadcast, I want to give you the full gold and refresh your minds why we are focusing on 1776. The main goal is there's an army of people in this country and in the world that don't understand the founding of America. We have people teaching that all the revolutions were caused by the Jesuits, except this one. This is the only revolution that wasn't caused by the Jesuits. Well, this is what the broadcast is about, is to connect those dots. Now, in connecting the dots, when you go to Grand Design Exposed, I have the dots up there. But if you want to connect the dots, click on avenueoflight.com. And with that, Wayne, I'd like to invite you to the broadcast tonight.
Thank you, Brother Walter. I appreciate it. As always, it's a pleasure and an honor. And to the glory of God, I thank His Son that we may be able to share the truth and speak freely, that we've not become such a dictatorship under the Jesuit rule yet that we're silenced, that time draws close, the hour in which no man can work. It saddens me. It infuriates me. It makes me sick to my stomach of how deluded, illusioned, and deceived the people are. And not just in America, Brother Walt. This, as you know, goes worldwide. Every other country we speak to these people have been trained and taught the same lie. America's the bully and the worst bunch of people on this earth. And that's what the Jesuits want. So they can bring Islam in here, the reason the Islamic faith was created by the Vatican in the 1100s by way of the Knights Templar and so forth. Who used to be the Jesuits, really, back in the founding. That was their start. So this has been going on a long time. You know, the stone that the builders rejected, talking of the Messiah, he was speaking of himself. Who are the builders? They sure aren't to build the burgers. Hello? If you want to build a burger, you might want to go to McDonald's or something. But no, that's not who he's talking about. Talking about high Freemasonry, the hierarchy, which are the Jesuit order, which are the biggest title they go under in this planet called the Illuminati. Erase it all, and you got the Jesuit order. These things need to be exposed. We need some people out here to take a stand for the truth. The Messiah said, should he find faith upon the earth when he returns? What a mouthful. 2,000 years ago, knowing the end from the beginning. Only he can tell the truth and understand all this. And all the prophecy that John has been shown, well, if the Catholic Church is behind it, which they are, of course they're going to make it come to pass. Nobody will peel the onion deep enough to let their eyes burn a little bit. Brother Waller, what is the scripture you do you have today for the folks to really bear and focus in their minds about?
Okay, Mike. I'd like to just say a little short prayer.
Okay.
And it's going to be short. It's going to be short.
Very good.
I'd like, our Father in Heaven, I would like to have you open our eyes fully to Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. It reads, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge.
For lack of knowledge.
Because thou hast rejected knowledge. Comma. I will also reject thee, comma, that thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgiven the Lord of thy God.
Forgotten.
Comma. I will also forget thy children." Praise God. And we ask our Creator to open our eyes today and for people not to reject the truth. And also, anything you hear on Mystery Babylon News Radio, we have a phone number up there. You could call directly to Wayne. There's two email addresses up there. Any time you want to more information or you'd like to ask us questions, please call or send us an email. Now let's go over that Hosea 4, 6. "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." Now we hear that quoted all the time. You hear that all over. "My people are destroyed."
But we don't hear the rest of it, Brother Walter.
"For the lack of knowledge." And yes, it's that. Now, because thou hast rejected knowledge. That's why you're commanded. If you hear anything on this broadcast that is not of the truth, you are commanded to email us or call us. "I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God." Comma. "I will also..."
And the law is not done away with. Listen to that. Did the folks hear that?
Yes.
That the law is not done away with, which is the Ten Commandments, which includes the Fourth Commandment. Sorry, Walter.
Remember the Sabbath.
Thank you.
Now, listen. We are going to listen to a 16-minute... this is coming right off of Hidden Faith of the Founding Fathers by Chris Pinto. But I can't think of anything that's more precise and to the target is this Hidden Faith of the Founding Fathers. Now, it's going to be almost 17 minutes, so we'll see you on the other side.
It was from these societies that the Enlightenment doctrines against the Bible sprang forth. In the book, Fire in the Minds of Men, leading historian and librarian of Congress, Dr. James H. Billington, writes that the revolutionary faith was shaped not so much by the critical rationalism of the French Enlightenment, as is generally believed, as by the occultism and proto-romanticism of Germany. He says the flame of faith had begun its migrations a century earlier, when some European aristocrats transferred their lighted candles from Christian altars to Masonic lodges.
Yes, Washington, D.C. is steeped in the occult. From an aerial view, you can even see a pentagram that's into the streets of Washington, D.C.
The flame of occult alchemists, which had promised to turn dross into gold, reappeared, seeking to recreate a golden age. Billington's reference to Germany has to do with Bavaria and the influence of what some believe is the ultimate secret society, the Illuminati, an organization founded by a man named Adam Weishaupt in 1776. The connection of this group with Freemasonry is acknowledged by even the highest levels of Masonry today.
The Illuminati was an organization created in Bavaria. A Freemason named Adam Weishaupt created the Illuminati as an inner circle of Freemasons. And he was very definitely taken by the period of the Enlightenment. He saw liberal democracy and liberal government, not liberal in the sense that we use it today in political talk, but liberal in the sense of giving rights and freedoms to the citizen, as an important way to improve the world. And his plan was to create this inner circle of Masons called the Illuminati, that means the enlightened ones, and that this inner circle of Freemasons would then spread out among Masonic lodges, and then the Masons in turn would see to it that their members were put in prominent positions in government, and that then the Illuminati's influence would enable the liberal democratic principles of the Enlightenment to be spread throughout the world.
You can become a member of the Illuminati today just by taking upon yourself this ideal of fairness and education and democracy and what the Illuminati chose as its doctrine, you know, which was liberty and equality and fraternity.
When talking about Adam Weishaupt, it seems that people kind of gloss over the fact that in 1773, when the Jesuits were suppressed, Weishaupt became a professor of canon law. He was a Jesuit and set about supporting his Jesuit brothers, hiding them from persecution, having joined a number of secret societies, such as the Freemason Lodge in Munich, in order to see how they operate. The Illuminati are the Jesuits.
The Illuminati was founded in 1776, the same year the Declaration of Independence was set forth in America. This date is also shown on the base of the pyramid of the Great Seal. The coincidence is seen by occult leaders as proof of a connection between the Illuminati and the American Revolution.
And the Illuminati was established as an organization, you know. He says, no longer are we going to take the orders of the monarchs in 1776. Now, that's a pretty important date, isn't it?
Again, when they're talking about the Illuminati, the Bavarian Illuminati, they're talking about the Jesuits.
It's too direct and too precise not to know that these people who envisioned such a new world were actually combined in the underground secret societies of Europe. The Illuminati and Freemasonry were the real forces of the spreading of democracy in the world.
Dr. Billington writes that while Freemasonry provided a symbolic vocabulary for revolutionary organization, it was Illuminism that provided its basic structural model. The organizational plan was simply lifted from the Bavarian Order of Illuminists. To this day, when leaders in Freemasonry let down their hair, they openly claim that the Illuminati was the real inspiration for the philosophies set forth from the American Revolution onward.
Yes, it was the Jesuits that fomented the American Revolution and the French Revolution.
It was called the Perfectionables. It was a student fraternity. It had three ideals: separation of church and state, controls on the power of the state, and the emancipation of women. Three planks in their platform, if you will. Now, one could say that the Bavarian Illuminati won, because that, in effect, defines Western society. Separation of church and state, controls on the power of the state, and the emancipation of all peoples.
Yes, this is all orchestrated by the Jesuits.
So, this, of course, did not go over well at the time because separation of church and state was considered to be an attack on the church. Limiting the power of the state was considered to be an attack on the state. And the emancipation of women was considered to be an attack on the social order. So it was. This was radical and revolutionary. And in 1776, when he started this, he started it in the wrong place, in a place where no one was going to accept what he was going on about. Thomas Jefferson writes that after having read some of Adam Weishaupt's writing, he wrote that if Weishaupt had tried to establish the Illuminati in America, he would have been welcomed with open arms, that he would not have had to have been a secretive society.
And that's exactly what we got with freedom of religion. We got freedom for the Jesuits to have free reign in America.
Many people that he said that, or that would be the case. I suggest that if Weishaupt had been a professor in a university in America at that time, there would have been no need to start the Illuminati. That he might have been writing political tracts for George Washington.
Understand that 1776, it's on the back of your dollar bill, isn't for the year that of the 4th of July that we signed the Declaration of Independence. 1776 is the birth of the Illuminati, and it's right on the back of our dollar bill.
Of course, Adam Weishaupt did not write tracts for George Washington. At least, not that we know of. Instead, it was Thomas Paine.
And who was Thomas Paine writing for? It's pretty obvious who influenced Thomas Paine.
But was there a connection between Paine and the Illuminati? The answer, eventually, is yes.
Yes. Is the Pope a Jesuit?
Paine was brought to England by Benjamin Franklin, who was involved with a number of secret societies in America and Europe. Franklin was the master of the Lodge in Paris, which was the epicenter of Illuminati activity in France. It was Franklin who encouraged Paine to write Common Sense, which was published after Paine was in America for less than a year, almost as if it were part of a greater plan. Then we read this from Dr. James Billington, who writes that Thomas Paine lived in a menage a trois with Nicholas Bonneville and his wife from 1797 to 1802. Billington goes on to write that Paine's roommate, Nicholas Bonneville, was directly involved with the Bavarian Illuminati.
When you say Bavarian Illuminati, you're saying the same thing as Jesuits.
We read that Nicholas Bonneville was the decisive channel of Illuminist influence. He was converted to Illuminist ideas during the first two visits to Paris in June 1787 by Weishaupt's leading associate, Christian Bode.
So it's a reference to Adam Weishaupt, and it's Weishaupt's top man, a guy named Christian Bode, converts this guy, Nicholas Bonneville, to the ideas of the Illuminati. And then Bonneville becomes roommates with Thomas Paine. So there you have a direct link between a member of the Illuminati and Thomas Paine, the man who specifically inspired the American Revolution. So don't let anybody tell you that there's no connection with the Illuminati. There's a very direct connection, and we could go on and on from there and talk about Benjamin Franklin being involved with the French Masonic Lodge, the Lodge of the Nine Sisters in Paris. Franklin became master of the lodge there for a time, and Franklin even initiated Voltaire, the famous French writer Voltaire.
Always remember, too, that all of the founders, the framers, were out of the Enlightenment, and they were trained by Voltaire. They were trained by the Jesuits.
who was definitely an Enlightenment thinker. And Voltaire, interestingly, had been trained by Jesuit priests. They had educated him. And so he would have been very familiar with the different ideas that Adam Weishaupt was putting forth. So, and of course, the French Revolution was born out of that lodge there in Paris. And it was run ultimately by the French Freemasons and others who came alongside to join in with what was happening in the French Revolution.
Simply said, the Jesuits fomented the French Revolution.
While he worked with many Freemasons, Thomas Paine's own membership in the society has been debated. Masons point to the fact that Paine wrote a history on the origin of Freemasonry as if he knew about it personally. Paine also worked closely with some of the leading Masons of the Revolution, namely Benjamin Franklin and George Washington. Masonic author David Harrison writes that Paine's writing skills and friendship with Franklin and Washington enabled him to stay at the forefront of the political action, and he was made secretary to Congress's Committee for Foreign Affairs from 1777 to 1779. After Paine left this position, he continued to be active in foreign affairs, and letters from Paine to Washington reveal a personal friendship at this time, Washington arranging a hefty salary for Paine.
Stop and think what Chris just said. Washington is the one that got Thomas Paine a paycheck. Just follow the money.
When Paine left America, he joined up with the revolutionaries in France. And with the help of friends like Freemason, the Marquis de Lafayette, he entered the political arena, assisting in forging the new French Constitution. While in France, Paine lived for a time with Freemason and later U.S. President James Monroe, while his close friend Nicholas Bonneville was also a Freemason. Harrison writes that a number of Masonic lodges in the USA were also named after Paine, and when he died, many lodges throughout America honored him. Some have suggested that Thomas Paine repented of his views on Christianity before he died. But two of his biographers, Moncure D. Conway and John E. Remsburg, document how Paine held fast to his unbelief to his final moments. Remsburg, an atheist who had no love of Christianity himself, writes that when on his deathbed, Paine was beset by emissaries of the church, pious nurses, bigoted priests, and illiterate laymen, who by entreaties and threats tried to compel him to renounce his theistic and anti-Christian opinions. According to Remsburg, one clergyman openly told Paine that whosoever does not believe in Jesus Christ shall be damned. In The Life of Thomas Paine, Moncure D. Conway documents the following account. While Paine was one day taking his usual after-dinner nap, an old woman called and, asking for Mr. Paine, said she had something of great importance to communicate to him. She was shown into his bedchamber, and Paine, raising himself on his elbow and turning towards the woman, said, "What do you want with me?" "I came," said she, "from God, to tell you that if you don't repent and believe in Christ, you'll be damned." "Po, it's not true," said Paine. "You are not sent with such an impertinent message. Send her away, pshaw. God would not send such a foolish, ugly old woman as you. Turn this messenger out. Get away, be off, shut the door." And so, the old woman packed herself off. In his last will and testament, Paine listed what he thought were his great contributions to the world, in which we find the following. "I, Thomas Paine, of the state of New York, author of the work entitled Common Sense, which awaked America to a declaration of independence, author also of a work lately published entitled Examination of the Passages in the New Testament quoted from the Old and called prophecies concerning Jesus Christ, and showing there are no prophecies of any such person.
Those who know the truth are not the same as those who love it. And everybody has heard this saying of George Orwell. George Orwell says, "Who controls the past controls the future. Who controls the present controls the past." It's that little 16 minutes of Chris Pinto's Faith of Our Founding Fathers is very revealing. You got any comments, Mike?
Excuse me, Brother Walt. Can I clear my throat, please? I'm sorry about that. I think Chris does an excellent job in that. He certainly has did his research in exposing these things. I think it's a great presentation. I encourage it to the people that I come in contact with, especially those that think America was founded on Christian principles and fundamental, you know, ideas. And it's, you know, all the documented proof to prove that that's not what this country was founded upon. It was founded upon Jesuit spirituality. And the whole world is being controlled by America through the Jesuits in every branch of office, which I read the last broadcast we did Saturday, that they control everything out here on this, I call it a ball of dirt, but some people think it's a beautiful place, you know. But anyway, I think God's creation is beautiful. What the Messiah Yeshua created, I think, is beautiful. But the system that runs this, which has been ever since Egypt, ran and controlled by Pontifex Maximus, I'm in total opposition against. And I long for the day that when the Messiah himself destroys that, and that will be at his second coming, the first resurrection. He says, pray be in the first resurrection. Well, obviously, if he said that, there's at least one more. Of course, I argue that. I think there's two more, but anyway. These people, they hated God, if you really will search. What deist is, what deism is, it's, hold on a second, brother. Stuff's falling off my desk here. Hold on. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to make a comment. You know, the only new thing in the world is history you don't know, and this is what we're revealing today is some history that is just not taught. It's just been buried.
Right. I can give a little bit if this is what you want me to do here about pain.
Yeah.
It says in December, which Chris started to mention, in December 1793, he was arrested and imprisoned in Paris. Now remember, I told you there were 14 stars on this flag. France was the 14th. Hello. And then he was released in 1794. He became notorious because of the book, which Chris mentioned, The Age of Reason. And that advocates deism. It promotes reason and free thinking. And it argues against institutionalized, man-made, created religion. And that I also 100% agree with, because it's just control, 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 the rich over the poor. I don't care what these pastors pretend. They've all been Jesuit trained from Georgetown University. They all teach sun worship. That's why they meet on Sunday. That's why they worship Easter, which is a reproduction fertility rites, has nothing to do with the resurrection, and it has nothing to do with Passover. And anyhow, and in general, and the Christian doctrine in particular, he was fully and totally against. Go ahead, Walter.
No, go ahead, Mike. I got one more comment that I would, but go ahead and finish a little bit what you had there.
Only six people attended his funeral because he was ostracized for his ridicule of Christianity. And of course, as I've said many times, and I know there's a lot of folks that are not aware of what I teach and stand for and against, is why we're doing this show also, and it's not about me, but the one that sent me. Christianity, the word they put Christ in front of anything, you know, it deifies it, it glorifies it, it makes it holy. Well, guess what? That's a lie. Because Christianity is nothing but sun worship, if you really will search the origin. And it started in the land of Egypt. And I know it's hard for people to swallow because they've never heard any of this before and thinking that I'm an antichrist, but I assure you, as my Father and his Son sit upon their thrones in the kingdom, which is in the third heaven, I am not an antichrist in any way, shape, or form. If I was, I'd keep my mouth shut, and I wouldn't be trying to share the truth with you folks. The same with Brother Walt and our other brothers that are involved in it. He, Payne, is actually credited with initiating the mission of funding the revolution. I want you to hear that. I want you to ponder that. He met with Franklin under the influence and meeting with the French king. You see this thing the Jesuits have led and set behind? They're the confessors. You know, they're being confessed to. And the Jesuit general, which is the black pope, you see, they all contact him, and that's how he knows what's going on in the whole world. And nothing is hidden from him.
And course, revolutions start from the top down.
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
And they need money. Revolutions do not start at the bottom. You and I are not going to start a revolution.
Nope.
But
they have a lot of money to start that. It takes a lot of money.
Who was the wealthiest man in the colonies at that time?
The Carroll.
It was Charles Carroll. He had not only
and
was
he funded the
war, man.
And I believe that he was rubbing elbows with Thomas Paine, Washington, as well as Benjamin Franklin. And I would just about stake my very life upon that.
Yes. I mean, it gets to be so plain.
Yes.
And, you know, I the only differences that I've had with Wayne and myself over the years is Wayne's been at this a little bit longer, and it's so hard for anybody that's listening to this that wants to wrap themselves up in the flag and not look at some history. What we're getting at here is these men were not men of God.
Absolutely,
and
they were out of the enlightenment. They led and worshipped the prince.
They were out of the enlightenment, and in today's language, that would be called the New Age. There's nothing new about the New Age.
Nope, it's the old age with a new covering. That's all it is.
Yes, in other words, and what we said at the beginning of this broadcast. You know, because thou hast rejected the knowledge. Once you understand this, you have to understand today on Sunday is the day of Sunday worship. And after Sunday worship, they'd fill all the Colosseums all over the major cities. 100,000, they sell out. And then they put their hand over their heart while four F-116s in formation fly over.
And they take a pledge and an oath, which our God condemns, period.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, this
and when
is,
you go to
what
court, what do they have you do? The first thing is put your hand on a Bible and swear. Hello? Wrong.
Yes. I mean, it's so, like I got up, like I said this morning, and I realized that, you know, in other words, this is not about that we are trying to get a big following.
Nope.
The truth, the only way to get the truth is to share the truth, and you're going to be rejected.
Walter, you're not passing plates for money, are you?
No.
Me
no.
either, brother. Praise
no.
Yeshua.
Yes. Because thou
people
hast
don't understand all that.
No.
You're supposed to pay tithes to the Levitical priesthood. Well, I'm going to tell you something. I'm 59 years old, brother. I don't know no Levitical priest.
No.
I hear one out here claims to be calling himself that. I told the person who follows him, I'd like to see the evidence. Yes. I want to see the evidence myself. I want to see it. We're to test all
that. Because thou hast rejected knowledge,
yep,
comma, I will also reject thee, comma.
Yep. Willfully ignorant.
Willingly ignorant. You know, as we get down here, we only got 2 or 3 minutes here. When I do these broadcasts, you know, I'm the best listener. Because I'm, you know, and it's, in other words, you when you do some research for yourself, what the goal is of this broadcast is to stir some interest that you will do your own research. I mean, it's out there. You have to dig a little bit. You know, go ahead, Mike.
Right. Somebody wants to get mad behind their breath and be cussing us and all this and that. That's good. God bless you. But I'll say this. Get mad enough instead of cussing me to prove us wrong. That's all I ask. Prove me wrong. Here the phone number is. You see it up there. Call it. I want you to prove me wrong by Scripture. Kyle, I see them. Yeah, I see them. Exactly. The blood ritual, the satanic blood ritual originally killing the believers, the true believers, they weren't Christians, they were believers, followers of Messiah. And when the people saw blood, they just wanted more, and they went into a frenzy and a panic, and they want more and more, and they can't get enough. It's no different, man. This is the Aztecs, the Mayans, the same cult of Lucifer sun worship that's been ever since Egypt, when Pharaoh was our first given example. He is a Pontifex Maximus. And see who carries the title today, Pontifex Maximus, the Pope of Rome.
And is the Pope a Jesuit?
Absolutely, Walter, as is our Vice President. Yes.
There are two major colleges in Washington, D.C., one of them is Georgetown University, which is where all the laws are drawn up.
Yes, every law that is created.
And you know something? I have researched this. There's 30 Catholic churches in Washington, D.C. Now, I haven't been to every one of them. I still find it so hard to believe that little postage stamp there is completely swallowed up with Roman Catholicism,
which is Lucifer sun worship, and which is Babylon mystery religion, which is 666.
Okay, we're out of time here, Mike. We got we got just 10 seconds. So anyway,
that's a shame. It's too short. You know.
Okay, Mike's is Grant is avenueoflight.com, and my website is granddesignexposed.com. So from that, we'll see you next week.